Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
A very momentous week in the Forex markets as well. And of course, a lot of the volatility on what's been a very tumultuous trading week across asset classes and global markets was triggered by a sight few had seen before, or maybe no one's actually seen before. West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. futures price, at least for the May contract, fell deeply into negative territory, with contract holders rushing and desperately offering to pay potential buyers to take the delivery of crude off of their hands. And while we're seeing the sight of oil prices starting to stabilize once again, this, of course, sent a lot of shockwaves across many asset classes. We saw stocks tumble at the start of the week, and also Forex markets start to get stirred left and right and up and down and side to side. So how is the sight of stabilizing crude oil prices going to influence or shape the movement of Forex markets as we head into the month of May? Well, today on Forex Fridays, we're joined once again by Mr. Han Tan from FXTM. He joins us from Kuala Lumpur to talk about what he saw and what he made of the recent moves in the commodity space. Han, thank you so much for joining us, and glad to hear that you're still in good health and your spirits are up despite the ongoing lockdowns up in Kuala Lumpur. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, and I certainly wish for the same for all of you down there in Singapore as well.
Right. Thank you so much, Han. So look, I mean, this was big. I vaguely remember just about to turn into bed on Monday evening. It could have been early Tuesday morning when it actually fell into negative territory. I got a message from a friend in Manila saying, good luck tomorrow. And this is something I never thought was possible, actually. We know that this was the futures contract expiring. But tell us, and humorous, Han, tell us where you were when you saw crude prices fall into negative territory, and what were your initial reactions when you saw that happen?
Yeah, so like you, I was also in bed already because it was after midnight Tuesday, after midnight Tuesday our time, that is, that prices went into negative properly, right? And unlike you, I had colleagues in London who were not letting me sleep, keeping me updated with a barrage of messages. I mean, look, there had been some chatter from the weeks prior about the possibility of sub-zero prices for WTI, you know, and you got the CME. They actually reprogrammed their software to allow for negative prices to actually show up, and sure enough, this week it did. So my initial reaction was, it was pretty mind-numbing, really, because it's one thing to contemplate the thought and the possibility, but it's a whole other thing to actually see it on the charts. And so obviously since then, we've had to change our way of thinking about really what's possible in the derivatives markets and in the physical markets as well.
Right. And so as we also saw recently, Han, right? I mean, this is a wild ride for a lot of the commodity currencies over the last couple of days. And a number of them actually strengthened a bit overnight. WTI, Brent crude, they're starting to stabilize. Of course, we're at the June contracts right now. Of all the oil currencies out there, which one were you paying most attention to over the last couple of days, either in terms of seeing strength or in terms of fearing a further collapse?
Well, it's got to be the Norwegian kroner, still worst performing G10 currency against the dollar so far this year, worst performer over this past week by far. You know, if you look at the year-to-date performance, over 17% weaker against the greenback. That is three times worse than the pound, four times worse than the euro. So it's really like a train wreck, and you can't take your eyes off it, right? And yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, despite the gains that it made in recent sessions in line with the rebound in oil prices, look, it's just not out of the woods just yet. Even if you look at, say, the implied volatility, even 1 year out from now, it's still highest among its G10 peers. Looking at the 25 delta risk reversals, markets are most bearish on the kroner's outlook over the next month. Again, I'm talking about the G10 space here. And so, you know, considering that the oil markets are still in dire straits, really no surprise on the dismal outlook on the Norwegian kroner as well.
Here's the thing, though, Han. The recent collapse in oil prices really hit WTI, or West Texas Intermediate, whereas Brent crude, yeah, they took a couple of punches to the face, but they didn't really collapse the same way WTI did. As we know, a lot of these economies oil industries outside of the U.S., they tend to look at Brent crude, such as, say, in Norway. Even here in the ASEAN space, we tend to look at Brent crude. Is there validity in the argument that maybe commodity currencies outside of the EU, outside of the greenback, might not be as affected by WTI's collapse because it's a mostly American thing? Do you buy that particular argument?
Well, yes and no, because again, if you just look at the oil universe as a whole, right, from the fundamental perspective, it just doesn't look good. I mean, that's an understatement, right? So until the supply-demand dynamics really corrects itself, and that is seen to be really a second half of the year story and really to pick up steam in 2021 there. So until that those dynamics actually rebalance themselves meaningfully beyond these short-term gyrations, you know, I don't think you can say that the commodity-linked currencies outside of the U.S. Are actually in for some meaningful gains over the near term, right? So I think it boils down to how quickly these economies can recover once the pandemic actually stabilizes. I mean, granted, some of these early signs, I mean, they're still very nascent in terms of the COVID-19 outbreak stabilizing or peaking even. But until that gets traction, or if we see a vaccine, I don't think oil markets and by extension, oil-linked currencies are out of the woods.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Hans Hahn of FXTM here on Forex Fridays. We're talking about the recent gyrations and the sudden spike in volatility in oil prices at the start of the week and how it's influencing Forex markets. Hahn, this fluctuation in oil prices, there's another commodity currency we have, or commodity-sensitive currency that we haven't really talked about, and that's your home currency, the Malaysian ringgit. Given the recent fluctuation in oil prices, do you think this was ultimately good or bad for your home currency, or was it just a source of never-ending headaches as you were going through the day-to-day?
Yeah, I think, look, it's safe to say it's not ringgit positive, and this is because of Malaysia's increased reliance on oil-related revenue, and really these wild moves just make it harder for the country's fiscal standing to find a solid platform. Now, obviously, oil prices are a lot lower now compared to the $62 a barrel assumption that was used for the 2020 budget that was tabled back in October. And so, again, even if the global economy recovers, you know, likely in the second half of the year, I think that Brent may only go up to 40 towards year end, barring a V-shaped recovery or just an utter capitulation of U.S. shale. You know, but if I were to use the glass half full approach, I think these depressed oil prices, that should provide enough impetus for the for policymakers to further diversify the economy, diversify fiscal revenue streams, while also right-sizing and reprioritizing government.
So when you look at the ringgit, which, by the way, is trading at about 4.37 against the greenback today, weakening just a touch, how weak can the ringgit actually go, Han? Some have actually said that they're drawing a line in the sand at about 4.55 against the ringgit, but could it fall or soften even further beyond that if these uncertainties in the oil space and economic uncertainties broadly persist?
So if you look at the charts, I'm looking at two key technical areas.
And, sure.
So one will be the 440 mark, and that has proved a pretty reliable resistance line for dollar ringgit. Yeah. So we saw that this week, and we saw it in recent weeks as well. So that has proved steady. Now, if there's a breach for a dollar ringgit above 440, then the next resistance line is 445. I still think it's a bit too early to talk about 455. Granted, there is the possibility of a recession being factored into Malaysia's outlook for 2020, but I need to see meaningful breaks above those two resistance lines, which have proven pretty resilient in recent months.
All right, Han. With the recent return of risk-off sentiment, and by the way, some might even argue that risk-off sentiment and caution never really left the theater of global markets also, the rough start to the week also, we have to take a look at the safe havens, gold, the Japanese yen, and even the almighty greenback also. How have the recent events of the last couple of days influenced your outlook on these three and their relative ranking as safe haven statuses against each other?
look, I think if we see any bouts of risk on sentiments, you know, not just in recent past, but just overall in this kind of market environment, those gains are really on shaky ground. Again, this is for risk assets that we're talking about.
Sure.
Can see a vaccine or any event that can hasten a return to normality, if that's even still possible. You know, that's what's needed for risk assets to embark on a sustainable rally. So on the flip side, then it makes a supportive environment for safe haven currencies such as the dollar and the yen. But I think the spotlight is still on gold, because as we have seen in the price action over the last couple of weeks, beyond the after the dollar funding squeeze episode that we saw last month. But since then, gold has just been raring to punch higher as and when the dollar allows it to. So right now, gold has this tailwind of near zero U.S. interest rates that it also enjoyed post-GFC. So they've got that in its favor. Now it's just waiting for any signs of moderation in the dollar, and gold could then climb higher, possibly even touching 1,800 before they move on to matching the record high of about 1920.
The biggest challenge, though, to gold, Han, recently has been liquidity issues. We've seen it actually come down whenever people were trying to cover margin calls or they ran out of liquidity. Do you think that there's enough liquidity, though, in the markets now to keep gold or smoothen the upward path of gold if it's going to be an inevitable rise in terms of spot prices? Do you think liquidity's done enough, or there's enough liquidity to make the road, the upward trend, smoother than it was, say, 2 months ago or a month ago?
Yeah, great. And I think just to broaden out this discussion here, we are seeing this drying up of liquidity both in the financial markets and also in the physical markets as well, because based on some of these brokers that physical suppliers that I'm speaking to, some of them are charging premiums of like 8-9% if you want to get your hands on physical gold bars, right? Now, in the financial markets, look, I think central banks are well aware of this, and you'd be perhaps remiss to try and discount the ability of central banks around the world to ensure that those liquidity levels remain adequate. And we are seeing the, recovery in liquidity levels evidenced in the FX market. So if you look at the price action from recent weeks, you see the dollar index putting in a more stable performance. Even if you look at, say, dollar Asia, you're seeing more stable ranges as well, right? So I think if the central banks have anything to say about it, there should be adequate liquidity.
All right, Han Tan from FXTM, we thank you so much for joining us once again on Forex Fridays at the tail end of the month of April, and we look forward to seeing you again in the coming weeks. Stay safe out there in Kuala Lumpur, and as always, happy weekend, sir.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.